Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, we're in the New Testament, in the book of John. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
This morning we are in John's Gospel, chapter 5. Now we had a great time, I enjoyed anyway, going through the first 15 verses or so in our last study as we talked about the guy that was just kind of marginalized, the guy that was just kind of put off to the side there, and how easily we can all feel that way or could feel that way. And we watched God, Jesus, do such a wonderful thing. And now obviously, Jesus purposely did what he did on the day that he chose to do that, and that healing took place on the Sabbath. Now, all the religious people, now remember, we learned something in Joshua last Wednesday evening. I encourage you to just grab the disc on that, and you can go through it and see, but we learned some interesting things about where Jesus is, religion seems to go. And it's just an interesting thing. Where Jesus is, religion goes. Because Jesus didn't come to establish religion. Religion seeks to establish its own righteousness by means of one's works and efforts. Jesus came to do what we could never do on our own, and that's make ourselves right before God. And so where Jesus is, religion isn't. It just, they don't mix, they don't work. Now, here we see Jesus doing this miraculous healing on the Sabbath. Now, those who were religious got worked up about it. Well, that's not right. You shouldn't be doing that. You can't do the, you know, all the why you shouldn't and why you can't, and he just did. You know, Jesus doesn't, that doesn't rock his world at all. He does this miraculous, wonderful thing. Well, the big issue now starts to stir up because they're pretty upset with him. For this reason, in verse 16, the Jews persecuted Jesus. For what reason? Because he healed on the Sabbath and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. And so they're pretty upset about what's gone on, and their reason is because he violated, in their mind, the Sabbath. Now, the Sabbath was a day of rest, and Jesus understood, as God knew, what the Sabbath was really about. Jesus, got in creating, in the creation itself, when you get to that day of rest, there's just a total observation and an enjoyment of what had been done. That's what it was. He was just enjoying what had been done. Enjoyed the process, enjoyed just looking at the beauty of creation and all that he had done. He just was enjoying it. Now, man's took that concept as God gave that day of rest to man. They perverted that and twisted it and made it something that it really wasn't. It was really to help us to maintain a dependence on God. Now, in an agricultural society, as some might be more familiar with than others, but in an agricultural society, the need to just kind of rest, or it was needed, but it wasn't often available. There's many people today that don't like to leave their farm, literally, just because especially this time of year, you got to be busting the ice off of the water bins and all the things that go on with maintaining a farm. Well, they also knew that they would be productive if they could get that one extra day in. See, so when you have to sit back and you just say, no, I'm going to let God be God and God's going to provide for me, God's still at work. God's providing even on the Sabbath. God's still moving. God's still doing. And none of this really resonated in the religious mindset. It was just a do's and don'ts. They didn't get the concept of what God was wanting to import into them. And so here, they're upset because Jesus had done this healing. Now, Jesus goes on and gives us these series of reasoning of why he did what he did and who he really is and the relationship that he has to the Father. In other words, he is kind of really diffusing the problem entirely. I don't know that it's necessarily a defense that he is giving, but it somewhat reads that way, as if he's just giving this explanation or defense for the accusation of what he has done, that it was wrong. Important for us, because there's so much that can go on in our lives, and we need to see that all we only have one person to please, and that's our Father, our Heavenly Father. That's the only one we need to be worried about pleasing, and that's what Jesus focuses in on. Your life could be so simplified. Brothers and sisters, if we could embrace this, our lives could be simplified. And we would have more harmony. The one thing that we observe about Jesus is he always did things well. He always did those things that pleased the Father, the Word says. He's just always right on target. Always, always, always. And he cites the reasoning, even though the accusations go on, even though the things get said, he cites the reasoning for it. And Jesus answered them, and so this is based on he understands that they have a great misunderstanding, and he begins to give them this series of a handful of reasons and the reasoning for why he had done what he had done. And Jesus answered them, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." God is always moving. God is always at work. The first thing you want to note in this is that God is always at work. God doesn't stop working. God is always moving. And there is this reflecting or revealing of Jesus to others through his efforts and the things that he's doing. He says, "This is what my dad does, so I'm just doing what my dad does." That's basically what he's saying. My Father's always at work, and so I'm just doing like my dad does. And so he is, if you have seen the Son, you have seen the Father. This is, the Bible declares that. And so if you want to know more about God, we want to look at his Son, because it is the express image, the exacting image of God in the form of flesh. This is God revealing himself to us as he comes to earth and through his Son shows us who he is. And this is who he is. He is in direct fellowship with the Father. That is the whole idea. And what I see Dad do, that's what I'm doing. You remember how we learned in Joshua again just recently, as we saw what the commander, Jesus, the commander of the Lord's army, what he said when Joshua said, "Well, hey, dude, whose side are you on?" And he was kind of threatened by the stature of the guy with the sword drawn. He says, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whose side are you on? You for us or you for them?" No. I just love that. Just no, simply no. He is for God. He's for what God wants to do, what the Father wants to do. He is the express image, and he's always busy about the Father's business and the Father's will. What happened when Jesus was challenged by his parents, and because they kind of lost him in the camel drive when they were coming back from Jerusalem, and so they go back trying to track him down. He's sitting there kind of talking with the leaders, the religious leaders in the temple there, and he's just kind of reasoning with them and visiting with them. Now, I understand he's only 12 or 13 years old, but he's just kind of hanging out. They said, "What are you doing?" You know, I think they thought he was with Aunt and Uncle so-and-so, and somehow they got kind of sidetracked and missed him on the camel drive back. But they come back looking for him, and they find him, and he says, I'm right here. I must be about my Father's business. You know, it was like, what was the question about? It didn't even resonate in a sense. And I think this is the key to the Christian experience, because we want to be shaped and molded into the image of Jesus Christ. This is what your name Christian means, to be small Christ or Christ-like. So if we want to do that, we get the opportunity to see what Jesus is like and how he, in the form of you and me, in the form of a man, expressed who God is. So this is a great pattern for us to look at and say, oh, okay, I get that. I can see that because he clearly states these things. The first one being that my Father has been working into now and I have been working. So basically he's just saying, I'm just mirroring what my Father is doing. I'm revealing him. He's always busy. He's always providing. He's always ministering. He's always at work. And so there's no, he's just showing that, revealing that, mirroring that. We want to mirror Jesus, reflect who he is. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he's not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now, when you go through and you study this and break this apart a little bit, you find out that he was continually, always saying those things, is what this implies in its original language. It is the implication, because of the tenses and stuff in here, that he was always doing this. It was continual. He was always referring to himself that God was his Father, and the two are one. He's constantly doing that. Philippians chapter 2 tells us that he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He did not consider it robbery to be equal to God. He is God, clearly. Oh, what a great thing to note. He was continually referring to this, and so some people will say, well, you know, Jesus, you know, never really said he was deity. Oh, well, wait a minute. There was no misunderstanding with his intent or what he said. The people hearing knew what he was saying, that he is God. That's clearly what he was saying. And so they're even more stirred up about this, that, again, the connection is that it is a father-son relationship. I've told people many times, and it kind of scares me sometimes, especially when you kind of catch yourself off guard, and you know, you stand there brushing your teeth. And this happens as you get a little bit older. It may not happen to you right now, but believe me, it does. I was brushing my teeth. I just looked up in the mirror, and it was like I saw my dad. And it like kind of freaked me out for a second. You know, it caught me off guard. But my dad and I look a lot alike by appearance, physically, and so on. But what was really weird is my dad stood there. I used to walk past the bathroom early in the morning, you know, and I'd see my dad brushing his teeth, getting ready for work, and he'd be standing there leaning down, just exactly the same, just identical. And it just was like, ah, you know, kind of a freaky thing. But the thing is we do mirror. We do develop mannerisms and traits and so on. How important is it then as parents? How important is it as friends that we are mirroring the Lord that others might do the same? This is what we're talking about in missions. We go to these foreign places and we want to, how'd you like that? We go to these foreign places. This is kind of like where I'm traveling. I talk like that. Just kidding. We go to these foreign places, and when that happens, we want to mirror the Lord. We want to reflect who Jesus is, that they in turn get saved and might do the same. It's the desire. Here, Jesus clearly making this identification to the Father. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." So this next thing that you want to note here is that he has total reliance, complete reliance, depends totally on the Father at any given situation, at any given moment. That's something you and I can do too. At any situation, at any moment, in any place, anywhere, no matter what's going on, you and I can depend on the Father. Jesus gave us that example. He says, "I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself." The two are intricately connected together. He doesn't act independently. He's not a satellite of the Father. He is directly connected and linked to the Father. Yours and my relationship is the same with the Lord and with the Father through Jesus Christ. We want to be linked. One of the ways we can be linked is through prayer. That's one of the best, because 24/7, no matter where you are, no one can stop you from praying. You can be standing there and just be praying for the person in front of you in the grocery store line. You can be praying for other people or all over the globe. I love what happens on Tuesday mornings with our men's prayer. I love what goes on. We travel the globe. Interceding. This is what it's about. I pray, brothers and sisters, that all of us would just catch this vision because it's exciting. If you're dry in your relationship with Jesus, don't look to others. Don't blame this church or any other church. Look in the mirror and receive from the Lord a touch. That's what we desperately need. We need a touch and a connection with the intimacy of the relationship with Jesus Christ. This other stuff is ridiculous. You're wasting your time trying to blame everybody else for your problems and my problems. I can't blame anybody for anything. I just need to look to God. I need to draw from the Lord. An inexhaustible resource. What do you need today? You can draw from this inexhaustible resource. Or we can be bumps on pickles and accomplish nothing. You know, it's really a choice, isn't it? We can choose to follow the Lord and be used by the Lord, and you'll have a vibrant, exciting experience in your journey. And one day, like just a couple of others that I'm aware of that are directly connected, family members of some of those here, have just gone on just in the last couple of days, on into eternity. And it's done. It goes by quick. Jesus said, man, I'm connected to the Father. And not only, I just really mirror whatever dad's up to and whatever he's doing. But not only that, I'm not even doing things in and of my own power of myself. I just kind of do whatever the Father tells me to do. I'm dependent on Him. You see, I see so much of the time we strike off on self, on independent thinking, independent things. How well did that go for you when you were in the world? Maybe that went better for some of you than some of the rest. It did not go well for me. When I was in the world and I was just choosing to do things how I wanted to do things, it was a crash course with disaster. It was horrible. It won't go well for you. It won't go well for me as a believer. Off, independently, just doing my own thing. It's a disconnect. And when the disconnect happens, that's when the trouble starts. That's when the dryness starts to set in, and we just start getting kind of lackadaisical, and we start wandering around in our own thoughts and just lose track of what really God's wanting to do. Most assuredly, Jesus said, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself. Now, you understand that this particular religious group believes they are connected to the Father, right? You understand that? That the Jewish people here that are challenging Jesus, they believe they're connected to the Father, and Jesus is pointedly, clearly telling them something different. So the first thing, He's mirroring, revealing this relationship. God's always at work. Jesus is always at work. Moving, doing, serving. He displays a total reliance, completely depends on the Father at any time. The next one we see, verse 20, for the Father loves the Son and shows Him all things that He Himself does, and He will show Him greater works that you may marvel. Jesus not only was reliant, but He is totally comfortable, completely comfortable in His relationship with the Father. He is not insecure at all. He knows the Father loves Him. He knows the Father loves Him. And you think, well, those are just great. Well, great, Pastor Jim, neat. So what's the point? Their hinges, right there on that one thought, hinges everything. Because when you know that you are loved, when you know that love will go to any length to care for you, to meet your need, to do whatever, when you know that, your life is so much more relaxed and at peace. Because trust is what we're really talking about. See, it's knowing that Dad knows what's going on and that Dad's allowed this for whatever Dad's purpose is. And even though I'm not sure exactly what this means, I know that Dad loves me and that Dad's got a perfect plan and that it's okay. The Father loves you and He knows exactly what's going on in your life and He's got a plan. Just know that He loves you. You know, this security that we have in our relationship with the Lord is a powerful thing because it provides trust and we can relax. Verse 21, this is a longer thought, so just let's read through this together and we get to the next one. So we can be comfortable in our relationship with the Father because He loves us. We can let the trust develop. This next one we pick up, verse 21, for as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom He will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears My word and believes in Him who sent Me has everlasting life. And he shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son to have life in Himself, and has given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this. For the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. And so, this unity that Jesus displays, the Father and the Son, and the power that's there, and the unity of what they're doing. They're able to do. They're united and connected in everything they're doing. The two are one. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks for listening today. And I know that some of you may have a tug on your heart that the Lord's just kind of speaking to you personally and that you'd like to give your life to Jesus or maybe like to give your life back to Jesus. Well, this is your opportunity. This is your time. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears My voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with Me." Jesus desires to have fellowship, personal relationship with us. And so He stands at the door of our hearts and knocks. He loves us. He doesn't force entrance into our lives, but He wants you to open the door and invite Him in. And so I want to give you an opportunity right now just to pray a simple prayer of faith. Again, it doesn't matter whether you're driving or you're sitting at home or you're out on a walk with the earbuds in, whatever it might be, but this is your opportunity to give your life and get back to Jesus or give it to Jesus that you might have everlasting life. He wants to spend all eternity with you and He wants you to have life abundant. So if you would just pray this simple prayer with me, Jesus, I want to invite You into my heart to be my personal Lord and Savior. I want to ask that You would forgive me of all of my sin. And I pray, Lord, that You would just take my sin and my old life and just give me a new life in You. I thank You, Lord, for forgiving me. I thank You for the new life that I have in You now.
And I just ask that your Holy Spirit would come into my life and fill me to overflowing, that I might accomplish your purpose. Lord, that your will would be done now in and through my life. I give my life to you. I thank you for the new life I have. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you can be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, we meet in Overland Park on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. The service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us again next time on Living Fountains.
Come, Lord Jesus, come.